Hi, this is Janelle Engelstad, and welcome to the MAP Radio Hour podcast, produced by Make Art with Purpose. The MAP Radio Hour features conversations with people addressing issues at the intersection of art, society, the environment, and culture. You can find out more about MAP and our projects at makeartwithpurpose.net. Welcome to a special series of MAP Radio Hour conversations featuring voices from Ukraine. In this episode, we hear from husband and wife, artists and photographers, Elena Supach and Vyacheslav Polyakov. They spoke with me from the far western border of Ukraine, where they have been staying with a friend and volunteering to help people fleeing the Russian invasion of their country. Elena and Vyacheslav have exhibited and published their work, which they make individually and together, widely across Europe and the United Kingdom. Hello, so tell us, where are you? What time is it?
Okay, so we are in Uzhgorod. It's probably the most far place in Ukraine from the front line. It's very western Ukraine, and we have three borders of our countries next to us, like just walking distance, more or less. Okay, so we got here by chance, because we woke up from, you know, how do you call it, air attack alarm. It was scared, so we just, you know, jumped in the car and tried to, you know, go as far as possible. It was like a first reaction, just to run. And when we just like after day, we realized like it's not that bad, you know, like just holding and trying to find what we can do. So we stayed here for some time, volunteering on the border, helping refugees, people, you know, passing it, you know, giving some warm tea, some blankets, you know, like carrying bags, wheelchairs, whatever. And we're probably thinking coming back to live where we live normally, and yeah, staying there for a longer period of time.
So how far are you from Lviv?
It's like 300 kilometers.
So you really are west, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the most western part of Ukraine, most possible western part, yeah.
And where are you staying?
In our friend's apartment.
Okay. But you're thinking of going back to Lviv. Right now, Lviv still hasn't been shelled or anything yet at this time.
Yet. So we have these alarms almost every day, but alarm starts when it's something happening in the region. So it's not particularly the city. It can be, you know, some other city nearby. So it's just not that precise. And it's not that calm is here. But we belong where we have things to do there, so we want to go back.
Right. And in the meantime, you've been at the border helping people.
Yeah. So here, from the house we are now, it's just walking distance to the borders.
And so you're really seeing this massive crush of people leaving. It must be an incredible sight.
Just the first couple of days, it was devastating for us also. Yeah. When we kind of get used to it. But yeah, so always people with huge eyes, stress, and running from cities on the north. And so we came here it normally takes a night drive, a night train to come here from Kharkiv, for example. But now it's just can take 2-3 days, often in awful conditions. And they come tired, they come without sleep, they come stressed. And all these families splitting because men stay here and women with children, they leave. And all these last goodbyes and crying. I know, I just... So first couple of days we were doing almost the same, but now we just like, if you see somebody cries, we just like, want some tea and sugar, you know, hi.
Можна я скажу, ти поприкладаєш?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I speak Ukrainian. Я хочу сказати, що ці люди, вони і досі приїжджають, і вони приїжджають кожного дня. І, наприклад, це може бути така черга в 700-800 людей, які стоять на кордоні приблизно 5 годин. І тому вони потребують якогось захисту, комфорту і турботи так само за собою.
Yeah, so people keep coming, maybe like a couple of hundreds of people waiting in a queue for like 6 hours, you know, outside. It can be cold. It's not easy, especially for elder people or you know, something. So we need care.
So you said that, you know, at first you were emotionally devastated. It was very hard. But then you just sort of find the space, I imagine, as we often do as humans, where you go into a space where you just must be very present to the moment and you just have to respond to what is in front of you. And I don't know, how do you deal with that stress? It must be incredible. Do you sleep? Can you sleep?
Wow.
It's not that easy to deal with stress. We like, I can't say we deal with it, it's just too much. But when you're outside, you're doing something physically, and the most important, you care about somebody else, you forget about yourself, and it helps, you know, just the best aid from stress to care about somebody else, because you see these people, they, you know, in worse condition than you. And yeah, so that helps.
Ну, і ще я хочу сказати, що людська психіка, вона пристосовується. Якщо в перші дні ми не могли спати і ми були дуже в стресі, то пізніше ми стали це сприймати якось простіше. І так, як каже В'ячеслав, ми допомагаємо людям і просто себе втомлюємо до такої степені, щоб могти заснути.
Okay, Jan says that like psychika.
No, psychika.
Like the
psychical state.
Your psychical state, yeah. Just it adapts on its own. So like after a couple of days of stress, you get super tired, and when you kind of starts to build some layer of protection, I don't know how it happens, but just human nature. And also when you get too tired from stress, it just also lets you, you know, decreases a bit.
Ну, і може ще варто сказати, що якщо спочатку ми були, просто налякані, то потім прийшло розуміння взагалі єдності людей, що люди один одному допомагають.
Yeah, and also it's very important when after the first like moment of being scared, when we came the next feeling of unity, people helping each other, you see everywhere, and belief in you know, the country and ourselves, and ability to resist. So people started to be more active and just
be proud and
proud probably, yeah, and like and hope get, you know, stronger.
Do you feel more Ukrainian than before, or more like a patriot than you did before this?
So Ilya says, yes, I would say not, because I don't think like you can be more or less Ukrainian, just like just you are or you are not.
Right.
But probably, at least I know, maybe it's my fantasy, but I see that I just have more hope about this country right now and more believe in it. And I feel like it's kind of... the old, you know, Soviet Ukraine falls like right now, and just like we have a chance to build the new one, you know, we want to dream about more or less. So, just all this post-Russian depression, nostalgia, and all these things, it just goes away. So we have to be strong, we have to be modern, we have to be global, integrated, you know, smart, whatever to fight. So trying to do so without.
Yeah, the shadow of the Soviet Union was very long and deep, and it feels like in this extreme violence and invasion, somehow there's this place, you said, the potential to move into a new place.
Yes, like this post-Soviet existence was kind of, you know, like a decadence. So it just it's bad, and you kind of enjoy this badness, and it's kind of poetic badness, and now it's just gone. Like at least personally for me, I cannot speak about entire country, but my feelings are just not anymore. It doesn't make sense anymore. Like nothing, like all this, nothing post, like left, mm-hmm. So just. Everything before just gets lost, outdated, whatever. Just there's a big division between like your life before and after. So.
Yeah.
Я думаю, що це треба буде будувати якусь абсолютно нову історію, абсолютно, не знаю, ну да, абсолютно нову історію. Не базуючи вже на захопленні постсовіт. Я знаю, що ви про це сказали.
Yeah, so you didn't agree.
Our conversation continues with Ilana and Vyacheslav, each talking about a project that reflects upon Ukrainian culture and history. Ilana's project, Babushi, or Grandmothers on the Edge of Heaven, explores the generational gap between grandmothers and grandchildren, with the older generation living with post-World War II values and the tendency to await death when they will step outside of the physical world and find themselves at Heaven's Gate. With his project, Lviv, God's Will, Vyacheslav examines the visual subculture involving public space that had become widespread throughout Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union and the subsequent expansion of globalization.
You both make work that looks at history in a way and the meaning of language or ritual or space and sight. And I'm especially thinking, Elena, with grandmothers. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that project for us and if its meaning has changed or more relevant now in these times.
Ну, давай поговоримо про моїх бабусь. Mm-hmm. Що бабусі, вони були з самого початку задумані як інтимний проєкт, присвячений моїй бабусі, але він був побудований на взагалі на концепції старшого покоління, яке не бачило перспективи взагалі для себе в цьому сучасному світі.
Чекай. So Grandmothers initially was a very personal project. It started for Elena's grandmother, like her personal relation. Yeah. Later, it grew up to the the broader older generation, like particularly women, who kind of like it is not post-Soviet. It's probably the mm-hmm. more like generation gap or something. The topic of people, older people here, probably due to all this economical, political crisis and like whatever, wars and everything. We don't. It kind of lost the hope for a better life, so they shifted it to the
райські пейзажі,
like religion, yeah, heaven. So mm-hmm. they agreed for themselves that their life here on earth just ended, whatever. So they are still alive, but doesn't make any sense. So they're just waiting to die and waiting for paradise to fix all their problems. So then I was taking pictures of this older people and like where not only like where pictures of them themselves, but their clothes, where belongings, or their apartments, whatever places we go to, and placing them into like heavenly landscapes to make this connection to just it really see that it's collage, it's not real, but when it's photography, it's always kind of real, so it just triggers something in your mind. Also, you asked if something had changed after the war, like with this project.
Так.
А що саме?
Що змінилося по відношенню до цього проєкту?
Ну, так.
Насправді помінялось, тому мені здається, що тепер не може бути дуже розділення такого, знаєш, на бабушек і не бабушек взагалі, на того, кого уявляти там в пейзажах цього раю, знаєш.
Ага, окей, I'm not sure I fully understand. Irene says that, like, after a war, we will, like, there are not that much division, like, for, you know, older people and, like, younger people. It just everybody became kind of the same. So more of the same as they used to be.
More unity?
Probably, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah. And Slav, I know that you've also worked together on a project, but one of your most recent projects and books is God's Will.
Yeah, God's Will is kind of like, it's a bit different. So it is visual for sure, but it's kind of also political. It was my personal like statement to people around me, but too many things in Ukraine where it just like happened without like thinking too much. Too many things. We shared like something from this like Soviet Empire, like some like the vision that maybe like it's Soviet vision, maybe it's religious vision. Like it probably is connected because like they also had a God ruler. Like they still have a God ruler. So I was taking pictures of things which appeared like happened unintentionally. So sometimes it was something get broken, and when like some bush grew for it. And when somebody come and painted on it, and when somebody else come and do something else, or somebody was trying to do something but didn't manage to achieve his goal, or he achieved, but from my point of view, it gives a different impression to people who don't know about his initial aims. But it was a statement that we used to think that somebody else decides for us too much, and we used to situation where we don't feel responsibility. It's like it's a project about responsibility, it's absence. And now, like, as I told before, I have very different vision, of future. So, and this is not applicable anymore. So, like, we do responsible now, like, we have to be responsible. Like, it seems like we're acting like that already.
So do you think your work as artists will change from this? Are you thinking about new work? Are you working?
Yeah, absolutely. It will change. So like my mind changed like dramatically. And I feel like everything that was done by me just, you know, stayed there in history. But it can be shown like, you know, like as an old project, but I don't think that way anymore. So even some unfinished projects, they probably will not be finished now. It just doesn't make sense. Like the concept of them doesn't make sense anymore for me personally. It will change, but right now, at the moment, I cannot think about something like doing art because like half a day volunteering, half a day I'm trying to do my day job to, you know, feed myself. And then at night also, you know, sending some pictures to, you know, some sales for charity or whatever. And I just all this email communication. So we're just so tired. We don't have any weekend, anything. And also even camera came not to say think on the street because people scared, people looking for, you know, Russians on the unreached, you know, like unreached stones. So when you're on the street, you know, with a camera, like you don't go very far. People start coming to you asking what you're doing, like what for. And it's very hard to explain. Like speaking about pictures I'm making, usually it's always was hard to explain to anybody what you're doing, you know, just on the street, because like, why do you need this broken tire? You know, like what's going to taking picture of it, and now it will be even, you know, less possible. So for now, I don't have time. I don't have, you know, I don't know when, like how it may look like and when.
Ну, я можу про себе сказати. Mm-hmm. Я можу сказати про себе, що я намагаюсь документувати. Ми взяли з собою камеру, і, звичайно, в перші дні просто навіть не виникало такої думки, що можна її дістати і робити документи. Але потім я зрозуміла, що так, це потрібно зберегти для історії, тим більше дуже багато було запитів, власне, від якихось іноземних видань, що було потрібно освітлювати ситуацію.
Ти маєш трохи менше говорити.
Ну, але запам'ятаю, що було багато запитів від іноземних видань, і вони хотіли бачити, що тут відбувається. Але оскільки я не могла робити портрети цих людей, тому що це було дуже драматично, і в них дуже важкий момент в житті, я почала робити натюрморти з цими стільчиками.
Mm. Ну, давай я спробую. Єлена has a very different approach, so she like, after first like couple of days, she started to do pictures, to take photos, because he feels like it has to be documented. And also, like, you know, a lot of people contacting us and like asking for, you know, for, like, what do you have, like some visuals, so they just sharing them. She started from taking pictures of people, but quickly realized that it's like morally like not very easy, you know, just people are, you know, under like very bad conditions. They don't, you don't feel like you're adding more stress to them by taking picture of them and like talking to them in that manner. So you don't do it just because just for them. And so that's why she started to take pictures of objects, like, you know, some like objects like chairs, you know, some blankets left on the street somewhere. It just to not stress anyone, to not, you know.
Ну, і для мене це, для мене насправді це важливе і дуже важливе поетичне поєднання, тому що оцей потік людей, які проходять через кордон, він для мене такий, як море, а стільчики, вони такі є островки спокою, на яких вони, люди можуть зупинитись, перепочити, і з кожним разом, коли проходить ця хвиля людей, вони постійно змінюються.
Okay, so she's speaking about here, like, right now we don't take pictures of particular chairs. Because she says that like this flow of people is like a sea which moves here and there, and when like each time the next wave passes, it changes a bit, like what's you know after it. And there's chairs where like a small island where you can sit and relax and spend some time, and when like next wave just changes completely, it's different person, different story, and different island.
Is there anything that you feel like you'd like people to know?
Ми дуже раді, що насправді Захід звернув увагу на Україну, і вона стала присутня в інформаційному полі так подужно, але нам дуже шкода, що власне таким чином це сталося.
What is very like what we really pleased that we see the support we hear it, we see it, like it's obvious, it's kind of pleasant that finally just we appeared on the map, as you know, as somebody, not a part of Russia, but like somebody who exists, mm-hmm. bad, but in a bad way, but it's nice that it happened finally. And what we need more help, obviously, because just war is war, just people dying every day, and nobody's safe here, and you know, you sleep, like rocket can just come to your house randomly, because that's what's happening, you know, like in basically any city, and this has to be stopped. And it seems that it can be stopped only military, because current culture in Russia is what they understand only force. That's how like Putin came to power. That's how he built his state. That's like, you know, everything is built on you know, on fear, and basically on fear. Yeah, he uses terror for everything. So he will not talk to anybody. Like, he will not, you know, it's like when you try to project your own, so you're thinking about of Russia, you're trying to project your own thinking to them. So just thinking, okay, I would never do this. So I would not be like, I will act reasonably. I will, you know, act like by my moral, but way different. And that said, like everybody missed that point, like what happened, but obviously bombing hospital with children, you know, just doesn't, I still don't believe it. I just still feel like it's not happening. It does. So.
Yeah, you didn't see it coming, huh? You didn't think this would happen.
Yeah.
We still have problems to believe. You know, I just like you see it. Yeah, I mean, it's still it just doesn't fit in your mind how one can do it. And seems that conversations not helping too much with like what happened, like Russia did actions too.
Do you have hope?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, fighting, standing, I know. What else do we have?
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking time when in such a time of great trauma and stress and exhaustion. And thank you for all you're doing at the border for your fellow Ukrainians and spending time with us and telling us what you're experiencing. We just know that I think I speak for a lot of people in the United States when I say we're really with you. the country really is united behind this, and there's so many geopolitical maneuverings going on between the governments and NATO and US and Russia and Ukraine, but people to people, we're really with you, our hearts, and we feel it and we see it. We send you all of our strength and love and light and stand with you really strong.
Thank you. We really see and feel the support, and it's crazy important. That gives hope, because, you know, just that's very important.
І скажу, ми дуже хочемо подякувати. Ми ніколи не знали, що нас оточує така велика кількість людей, яка почне нам писати, пропонувати свою підтримку. Це було теж дуже...
Yeah, we received so many letters of support, the first days, we never were able to imagine it. So the people think about us, they know about us, care. Yeah. That's amazing thing.
The MAP Radio Hour is produced by Make Art with Purpose and edited by Matthew Horton. Theme song by Jan Vorpas. Logo by Otto Huditz. I'm Janiel Engelstad. Thanks for listening, and visit makeartwithpurpose.net to learn more about our projects and connect with us on social media.